You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized,
hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field.
So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I am your host, Nick Schreck. And guys, it's just me for part two of the Week 8 preview. We have been slammed with questions, podcasts, getting everything out, and I'm coming to you guys here. It's going to go live as soon as I wrap it up, Saturday night, October 26th, approximately 8 p.m. Eastern time, guys. So injury updates, everything else I've got is as accurate as I can get in the moment. So without further ado, I'm going to try and keep it short and sweet and hit the remainder of the Week 8 games. I'm going to hit some injury news. Obviously, some things we're not going to know until Sunday morning, but this should help at least get you off the ground. Guys, if you haven't listened to part one, Don and I covered that. It came out late last night, and it's something you guys should tune into as well. That's a little bit of a long one. We'll keep it short and sweet here. Before we jump into it, guys, bye weeks, Ravens, Cowboys, they are out. Do not send us Ravens and Cowboys questions. We are tired of getting questions with bye week candidates. We are still getting them despite our plea in the last podcast. If you guys do have questions, please send them in Instagram, Twitter, whatever. Get them in early. I'll put up the question queue on Instagram tonight. If you wait until an hour before game time, we're answering them at first come, first serve. So if we don't get to you, it's because there were too many ahead of yours that we just can only get out so many, guys. We got lineups and everything else we're trying to fine tune as well between DraftKings season long. And we've all got things going on despite what you may think. We are not all just sitting around the conference room table hashing these out. So, without further ado, guys, let's talk about some real quick injury updates based on the information I have. Some of these games are ones I'm going to cover. Others are not, but I'm going to hit them anyway. Cardinals, Saints, guys, David Johnson is with the ankle injury. Once again, a game-time call after failing to practice this week. It's possible he has a couple snaps and then is taken out of the game again. I think Chase Edmonds, I'm sorry, interesting play. I'm going to talk about him. I think he's a running back, too, no matter what the DJ situation is. I'm okay if you're avoiding that. Drew Brees reportedly is going to start, so that is there for the Saints. Alvin Kamara is technically questionable with the ankle and knee. I think they lean towards sitting him, but we'll touch on that as well. Seahawks, Falcons, not a ton here. Matt Ryan has been ruled out for the ankle injury. That is about it. Eagles, Bills, DeSean Jackson out with the abdomen injury. That's really all I've got injury news at this point. Keenan Allen, hamstring injury is questionable. Tweak the hamstring in practice midweek, guys. We talked about it on the first part of the podcast. Game time decision. It's just a boost to Hunter Henry, Austin Eckler, and Mike Williams if he does not go. Giants, Lions, Sterling Shepard concussion. Return to practice. He will not play this week. Saquon Barkley comes off the injury report. So that is a win as a Saquon owner. And Ty Johnson is the guy there. Kerryon Johnson obviously out on the IR for the knee injury. Raiders, Texans. I'm sorry. Josh Jacobs, shoulder injury. He is probable to go. We'll touch on that as well. And Will Fuller, hamstring is out. Jets and Jaguars. Chris Herndon, doubtful with a hamstring injury. He was downgraded on Friday. No longer expected to suit up. If you expected him to be ready to go here in week 8. D.D. Westbrook upgraded to probable following a week of limited participation in practice. So Don was a big D.D. guy for great reasons, and it looks like someone's going to be available to you Sunday. Bengals and Ram. Bengals down Dre Kirkpatrick. He's going to be out with a knee injury. Denard out with a hamstring injury. Obviously not fantasy relevant for that Bengals side, but it could be relevant for the other side of the ball. A.J. Green is out with the ankle injury. Malcolm Brown is out with an ankle injury. Did not make the trip to London. Darrell Henderson is the backup behind Todd Gurley for at least one more week. So just something to look into. Gurley, obviously an RB1 against a bad, bad, bad Bengals team. Buccaneers and Titans, guys. O.J. Howard, if you were interested, he's out with a hamstring injury. I have nothing to do with the Titans really side of the ball. We kind of talked about that. Broncos and Colts. Do I really have any injury update here? Jack Doyle, questionable with a groin injury. We're going to talk about the Colts very, very briefly. Panthers 49ers. Cam Newton is still out with that foot injury. He misses his fifth consecutive game here for the Panthers. 49ers side of the ball, Joe Staley. He's doubtful, but he may give it a go. Could be a boost to that running game there for the 49ers. Other than that, don't think there's a ton relevant to that. Browns and Patriots. Rex Burkhead, foot injury was limited throughout the week. Josh Gordon is no longer relevant. Julian Edelman is probable with a chest injury. You are good to go. I wouldn't get carried away with Snoo yet. We'll touch on that game. Packers and Chiefs, guys. Devontae Adams, I put him in my lineup every week. Hopefully he will be back. I do not expect him to play. He is officially doubtful after failing to practice all week. He officially remains a game-time decision, but I don't expect him to go. Sammy Watkins, the hamstring, is expected to be back. I'm not sure it's going to matter for him. Dolphins, Steelers side of the ball. Mason Rudolph, concussion, and Jalen Samuels, knee injuries are probable and expected to be back here for the Monday night matchup. But that's going to do it on the just quick injury front. There may be guys I skipped. I'm trying to keep it brief. I know you're stuck with me, so you don't want to hear me drone on and on and on forever, guys. So let's kick it off with the Colts and the Denver Broncos, guys. If we touched on Jack Doyle very, very briefly, you know, we said that he's on the injury report. If he's out, Eric Ebron, slight upgrade. We love Eric Ebron, friend of the podcast, but ultimately not somebody I can necessarily trust. I think he gets closer to a high-end tight end too, though, if Mr. Doyle does not play. Jacoby Brissett, not relevant fantasy-wise. Marlon Mack, he's in your lineup. It's a tougher matchup here. There's no question. It's Pro Football Focus's best defense against the run, the Broncos here. But Marlon Mack just takes a slight ding. Not that it matters. He's in your lineup. He's got 19.8 carries per game, guys. It's incredible. He actually has a positive touchdown regression projection numbers for you guys. Jacoby Brissett has 9 TDs on 18 inside the 10 passing attempts. That's by far the highest TD percentage. Mack has been limited to just 6 inside the 10 with carries, which is 29th in the NFL. So things have to swing back his way. Don't know that it happens. So here against the Broncos, good things to come for Marlon Mack. Maybe somebody to look at if you have a nice record, you're starting to look towards the future, playoffs, whatever. Those stats, guys, come from Hayden Winks, at Hayden Winks on Twitter. So just something to keep in mind, guys. T.Y. Hilton's been scoring touchdowns, guys, inside the red zone, 4 of 6 inside the 10. With his targets. It's not sustainable, but nothing you can really do about. Individual matchup is not great. He gets cornerback Chris Harris, who is elite. Unfortunately, he's a boomer bust wide receiver 3 here, I think is, you know, fair is the best way I can kind of put it. I think that's really the only interest I have on the Colts side of the ball as far as fantasy. We touched on the tight ends. We touched on the running game and the QB. I know Eric Ebron had the cool touchdown grab last week. The weekly usage is not trustworthy for 10, 12 team leagues. If you get deeper in a 2 tight end league for some crazy reason, you roll 2 tight ends by default, which I think is a mistake, then it is what it is. All right, guys, on the Broncos side of the ball, you got Joe Flacco obviously leading the charge. He loses Emmanuel Sanders against a team that wants to run a slow paced offense. Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman committee continues to be a hot situation, I guess isn't the right term, a scary situation, depending on who you own and what the deal is. It's an important projection to kind of figure out, right? Because Culture Pro Football Focus is 30th run defense. Freeman has out-snapped Lindsay 4 straight weeks now and has seen an inside the 5 carry. Lindsay has out-touched Freeman 122 to 107 on the season and has handled 77% of the inside the 5 carry snaps. Freeman's role is growing, especially as a receiver. He's slightly preferred for me over Philip Lindsay. I prefer Royce Freeman here. Probably a running back 3 play if you're in that situation. Emmanuel Sanders, guys, leaving the team. He leaves behind full-time snaps and 19% of the team's targets. You got to think that's a win for Cortland Sutton. It's also a win for Deshaun Hamilton, right? Sutton was already the number one receiver. Absolute stud. If you own him, you are pumped. More targets coming his way. It's just more obvious as the number one. I'm not super worried about the Colts zone defense here. I think Sutton is going to continue to make it happen. He's tied for 8th in yards per route run, guys, among receivers with at least 20 targets. He's an every week wide receiver 2 as far as I'm concerned. Hamilton, they just, you got to wait and see what happens. I mean, I think he's a beneficiary, but he's a wide receiver 4, maybe a high wide receiver 5. Nobody I'm putting in here. He's boom or bust week to week. Noah Fant could be a winner of the target share. Not necessarily a winner for you guys in fantasy, but he goes, it becomes a tight end 2 with, I think, the potential growth in targets. Somebody to watch, but as a general rule of thumb, I'm not looking to spin the wheel there. I don't think you need to. And at that point, you really gain nothing by spinning. We love spinning the wheel, right? But I don't think you need to. So look elsewhere for the tight end roulette wheel. Spin it, and let's pick this game. I'm gonna take the Colts. Yeah, that wasn't as hard as I made it sound. Cardinals Saints, guys, 1 p.m. Eastern kickoff. Let's start on the Cardinals side of the ball. David Johnson is a game-time decision. I hit that at the top of the podcast. He's probably going to be inactive. If he is active, I still think you can sit David Johnson. Crazy, I know. But I just don't know how you trust it, right? He's been banged up, whatever. He's considered a game-time decision. He can't be fully healthy. I think you have no choice, and I think that immediately makes Edmonds low in running back 1, high running back 2. Just in the opportunity, we saw what he did last week. If you were an Edmonds owner with David Johnson, you were obviously frustrated because he was probably on your bench in 99% of spots. It happens. There's nothing you can do. We say play your studs for a reason. So if you lost because of it, I'm sorry. We feel your pain, but nobody saw it coming. We missed it. We accept it. We move on. Kyler Murray, guys, leads the charge there. He's QB2, for the week. Passing production just isn't there. 7 passing TDs in 7 games. He goes into New Orleans, who were showing above average metrics against the run and the pass. I just don't think he's a good play this week, so look elsewhere. And if you have to roll with him, you have to roll with him. But I just don't think this is a situation where you necessarily want to have to do it. Chase Edmonds, we touched on him at running back. Great things to come for him this week because I think DJ does not go. Christian Kirk, Larry Fitzgerald. You know, you could go a lot of ways with these, right? As I'm looking at them, their air yards and their targets combined here. We still don't know if he's going to go this week, right? He's been limited in practice. They don't really have much incentive to rush him back till he's fully healthy. When he's active, he's a wide receiver 3 in bad matchups. Larry Fitzgerald has been a bit of a disappointment lately. I think that's fair to say. He's dropped off from back-to-back 100 plus yard games to start the season. The offense has been a little bit inconsistent. I think that's fair to say. You just can't trust him, right? As a wide receiver too, I think, you know, I mean, I didn't even see this number until now, right? But they're on the road with a 19.3 point team total. Not great. He's a low-end wide receiver 3 for me. I think it depends on your options. We don't have a ton of team on the buys. You probably have other options. I would look elsewhere. Not interested in the tight end game, guys. And there's nobody else really on this team that's proven themselves to be reliable. Keyshawn Johnson. We talked about Christian Kirk. I just don't think it's there. If I dare say it myself, which brings us over to the Saints side of the ball. We talked about it again at the top of the podcast, guys. With injuries, Drew Brees, we expect to start for the first time since week 2. With that thumb injury, it's a great time, actually, I think, for Drew Brees to come back, as long as they believe he's healthy and it's not this, let's rush him back, yada, yada, yada. It's in New Orleans. It's against a bottom 20th percentile pass defense, and it's against the second fastest offense. So he's got a nice ceiling, I think a pretty safe floor. He's a bottom barrel QB1 for me this week, but I think you can put him in there with some confidence that you'll get that return. Again, I'm sure you've held on to him. You may have other options depending on the matchups, but depending on how it plays out for you. Totally cool there as a QB1, guys. Alvin Kamara has the ankle injury, limited practices this week. He's a true game-time decision, which sucks. Let's call it how it is. The Saints should rest him, right? They have the bye week coming up next week. To me, it's just dumb to roll him out there, get him healthy, bring him back for week 10. It's a win-win for everybody, right? Because if you get a banged up, not Latavius Murray, I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Alvin Kamara, he gets hurt again this week. It's banged up a little bit. Now you're even worse off in week 10. You know, hopefully you're not struggling to the point where you need this win super badly this week. Hopefully you have Latavius Murray. He is the guy. If Kamara is out, Murray's a running back won in this matchup. I think there's no reason that Latavius Murray can't go fucking ham. So fingers crossed if you're a Latavius Murray owner that Alvin Kamara is out. Even if you're a Kamara owner, I think you want him out. You don't want the questionable production that is probably going to come from there. Michael Thomas is the only pass catcher I have any interest in. We've talked about this on past podcasts. He's third among receivers, guys, in yards per route run and is leading targets, receptions, yards, and PPR points. Patrick Peterson is back, unfortunately, but Thomas will have the advantage in the slot. He's a high-volume wide receiver one guy. The ceiling's a little bit lower because of the matchup, but I think Drew Brees is going to feed him the ball. He's going to be just fine. There's nothing else I want, right? We know the Cardinals' defense has been statistically a disaster against the tight end. We don't expect Jared Cook to go in this game. So he missed practice a bunch. It would be a great opportunity and a mismatch. I don't think he goes, which means that there is Josh Hill, I guess, is a streamer. I don't know what your other options are, but there's not the confidence that I would have with Jared Cook as if he was healthy and I knew he was going into this matchup. So I think that easily does it there for the Cardinals Saints guys. So let's pick it. I am going to take the Saints at home over the Cardinals. All right, guys, that brings us to the Panthers and 49ers, a 4:05 p.m. Eastern game. We kick that off here for the really first game of the afternoon, if we truly look at it that way. Panthers +5.5 against San Francisco here. Kyle Allen is going to lead the team once again. He is not fantasy relevant for you guys in standard leagues. Cam Newton not active, but he's starting to get back on the practice field. He will be back soon. I just don't think it. The 49ers are just – they're just too good all around, right? Pro Football Focus is second-best defense in both passing and both pass rush and pass coverage. Absolutely no interest in Allen at all. It's a tough matchup here for Christian McCaffrey too, right? Unfortunately, it is what it is. It's a good defense, but you're playing him, right? Nothing changes here for Christian McCaffrey. Just don't think it's a explosion of 35 points for Christian McCaffrey. And I don't think that's bold to say. I think everyone out there is thinking the same thing. But if you own him, you're playing him. I won't continue to waste my breath on him. As far as receivers, guys, DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, difficult game here ahead against San Francisco. I think Moore's projection is a little bit higher. He's a little bit more consistent, maybe a security blanket, if you will, here for Allen. But absolutely no interest against the 49ers here. Not even as a wide receiver three for Moore. I think you have to look elsewhere. Greg Olsen, absolutely also no interest either. Tight end two. I really think Christian McCaffrey is the one and only Panther that you can expect really anything for, or from, I should say, this week for this team. So 49ers side of the ball, guys, as I have continued to state and allude to, they're fucking good. Emmanuel Sanders is going to quote-unquote play a lot, according to Coach Kyle Shanahan. We'll see what that truly means, right? But it's encouraging that they traded for him, and they obviously want to make some shit happen. The 49ers guys have passed the ball the fewest times entering Week 8, only 168, which has just been a downer for Jimmy G's fantasy value. I don't think it changes anything for Jimmy G fantasy-wise. But since we're talking about passing, we'll start on the receiver side of the ball. I'm hoping that the pass balance, run balance changes a little bit with Emmanuel Sanders. I think it's too quick for that to start to swing a little bit, but we'll get there. I don't believe the coach speak of going to play a lot. He may be out there. I think it's too quick of a turnaround to truly expect. He's playing catch up. He's getting familiar. I know it's the offense isn't necessarily that huge of a change, but it's a new team. You got to get accustomed. So I don't think, anything crazy, maybe 5 to 10 plays in there for him, not even necessarily targets, but I'm looking at other options. I also don't think there's any startable points coming out of Dante Pettis, Marquise Goodwin, and Deebo Samuel, who is questionable. We don't have anything more in him at this point. George Kittle is going to be just fine. 7 to 10 targets is pretty much the status quo for him. So he is in your lineup. There's nothing with the wide receivers. At this point, Emmanuel Sanders, we need to monitor for sure. Breida, I'm just looking. He's averaging 10.7 carries since Coleman's return as the number two back. He only has one carry in the red zone, which is a bit of the red flag, 11 receptions this season. the weekly upside is just not there for Breda. He's a running back four. It's really more of a handcuff to Coleman. Coleman is the guy. Every week fantasy starter, guys, 18 carries per game in a three game since he's been back from injury. He's gotten a ton of goal line looks. The Panthers are showing signs of being a run funnel, and Coleman's a mid-tier running back too here. He's in your lineup, I think, unquestionably. And that's it. There's not really a ton to overthink or look at here with the 49ers and the Carolina Panthers. I think the 49ers continue to dominate, and they're going to be my pick. So real quick, guys, I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we're going to finish up with the last four games of the week.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, home of the brutally honest fantasy advice you've always needed.
All right, guys, and we are back. Let's jump right into it. I know you're getting tired of listening to me drone on and on. It's Raiders and Texans, 4:25 p.m. Eastern start. Let's start on the Raiders side of the ball, guys. They are plus 6.5 at the Houston Texans. Josh Jacobs and Tyrell Williams are both expected to play. They have some re-injury risk, but there's not a ton you can do there. Derek Carr, not fantasy relevant. We're going to skip right over him, right? Josh Jacobs, I think, is a running back too. He's playing through a shoulder injury. I want to see him get more involved. It's him and David Montgomery are guys that I own a lot of shares of in a lot of places, and guys that I have trust issues with, and I think understandably so. I think a lot of people can. I would really like to see him get a little bit more as a pass catcher. He needs the Raiders to build a lead for him to continue to kind of get the carries. So, or for you know, the volume, we'll say. He's a running back too. I think he'll be just fine. But I do expect him to play. I don't expect him to be ruled out. So I think he's a running back too. Don't worry about the questionable designation. He will be just fine. As far as Tyrell Williams, he returned to practice. I believe he makes a week 8 return after missing 2 when he was healthy, guys. He was a boom or bust flex option, you know, inconsistent, but created that ceiling, I guess you could say. Totally a nice opportunity. I don't think he's in my lineup, but if you got to plug and play somebody, he's probably a wide receiver 4, give or take, where your lineup stands. Again, not a ton of buys, so there really shouldn't be an excuse where you have to smash somebody in there. Darren Waller is the guy in Oakland catching the ball. He's got at least 7 targets in 5 of 6 games, averaging 10 yards per target in his 2-year career with Oakland. Guys, he's only got 1 target inside the 10-yard line. It is what it is. He's in your lineup. Tight end 1. Nothing to worry about. He will be a stud, unquestionably. Let's flip it over to the Texans side of the ball. Deshaun Watson, he's QB1, right? Watson's a stud. The Raiders are 31st in Pro Football Focus's pass coverage, dead last in pass rush. There is no QB that has as much upside as Watson does. So I think you have nothing to worry about Deshaun Watson. Carlos Hyde. It's a bit game script dependent, guys. If you actually look at how those splits and numbers kind of play out, in the Texans' 4 wins this season, Hyde has averaged 19.3 carries. In their 3 losses, he's averaged 11.3. So the Texans are 6.5-point home favorites. Hyde is a good matchup, but it's a little bit concerning. Duke Johnson has outsnapped Hyde 38-25 in last week's loss to Indy. Hyde is still the better play if you have to play one of them. I think he's a high 3, low 2 borderline guy. Duke Johnson has no floor, probably a running back 4. Not a great game script necessarily for him. I think the snap thing is just interesting to note, something to keep in mind. Will Fuller, obviously the loss hurts the team. Don't overthink the Deshaun Watson, Will Fuller splits. I've seen them. You've seen them. They've been on Twitter, every place else. Just don't worry about him. Kenny Stills is around for the offense, which shouldn't necessarily instill a ton of confidence in you guys. But I'm not super, super worried about it. The Raiders are who we thought they were. DeAndre Hopkins is he got it done last week, which was nice to finally see him in the end zone. I'm really hoping his average depth of target, which Don and I talked about on the podcast last week for week 7 preview, increases a little bit, right? Because this has been the issue this year is average depth. The target has been so low. With Will Fuller out, they lose that quote-unquote deep threat. Is it Kenny Stills? Whatever. We'll see how it all plays out. I'm hoping DeAndre Hopkins, it gets a little bit more downfield. His ceiling goes up, right? And for what you paid for him, you're expecting touchdowns. You're expecting production. The Raiders are bottom 10 in the 10th percentile against fantasy wide receivers. I think this is a spot where DeAndre Hopkins can get right. So he's obviously a wide receiver one, unquestionably. Kenny Stills, yikes. I haven't given this one much thought. You know, I'm looking at where I think this can go. I think he's a desperation wide receiver four. I know the Raiders are bad. I get it. He gets thrust kind of into an opportunity, right, with Will Fuller being out. Can he be the deep ball guy? You know, Kiki Goutte saw a season high in routes run last week before leaving early. I think Stills has a better upside than Kiki. We'll put Kiki as a low wide receiver four, high wide receiver five. So I think if you're going to roll a dice, it's Stills. It's not Kiki. But that is what it is. The tight ends are sharing a workload, right? There's no fantasy value there for them at all. So that kind of is what it is, guys. So spin the tight end wheel. You're going elsewhere. I'm taking the Texans unquestionably here. Deshaun Watson is going to have himself a nice fucking day. Maybe even do a DeAndre Hopkins stack. I don't know if I'll pay, but it could be a nice little payoff if it does work out for me, guys. Browns versus the Patriots, 4:25 p.m. Eastern start. Baker Mayfield, yikes, what a fall from grace. We expected big things. He is not fantasy relevant at all. The Patriots guys are 37-3 against rookie or year two quarterbacks. That was pointed out by Lord Reeves. So just something I didn't see until literally right now as I was kind of scrolling through and putting some notes for the podcast. Baker Mayfield's bad. There doesn't really have to be much more to say to it. They've allowed 56 rushing yards to running backs this season, guys. He's seeing too much usage, averaging 19 carries and 3.3 receptions a game to be overly concerned. I just think he's a high running back two versus the lot running back one that he has been. So it is what it is. Just don't expect the moon from Nick Chubb here against the Patriots. Statistically, it just doesn't make sense. A little water to pull myself together. Odell Beckham doesn't seem to be on the same page with Baker Mayfield, and that is super, super concerning. I don't expect this gets fixed against Bill Belichick. He's going to make sure that OBJ, who is really the biggest threat that receiving they have here, to make sure that he can't do anything super crazy. So OBJ is a wide receiver three, high wide receiver three. I mean, that just feels weird to say. I feel gross. I don't know. I'm second guessing myself. We'll go with a wide receiver three, high wide receiver three, I guess, but not a great matchup. Jarvis Landry, I think, is really the only interesting option here, and that's if you really want to fucking toss a dart out there as a wide receiver four. Extra maybe a couple of targets with OBJ kind of being the focus. I think he has a shot to make it happen. He is a positive receiving touchdown regression candidate as well based on that red zone usage. So there's definitely an opportunity. It's just a matter of, is this the game? I don't know about that. Definitely can't feel overly confident about that fact. Patriots side of the ball, Tom Brady. The Browns defense is actually, I want to say not terrible, right? Tom Brady's borderline QB, one QB, two, a high QB, two, low QB, one. It depends on what your options are, but Brady's QB 9 through 7 weeks. So he kind of is what we thought he was. He gets the job done, but it's not the sexy, crazy numbers that we have seen in the past. So that brings us over to the running game, guys, and that leaves us with Sony Michel, James White, Rex Burkhead, who is questionable. Sony Michel for me is a running back two. James White closer to a running back three, maybe a high running back three. Rex Burkhead, I have absolutely no interest, even if he does go. He is questionable at the moment. But I'm just trying to see. Sony Michel, he's only averaging 3.2 yards per carry with 10-plus yards to go. So when he has space, he's really not making it happen. It's obviously not relevant for you guys in fantasy football, but in carries inside the 5 and inside the 10, he leads the NFL. He's also 8th overall in carries on the year. So usage matters. He's a running back too, just based on that. The Browns are the 31st graded run defense according to Pro Football Focus. So obviously a plus matchup there. James White has 6-9 receptions in each of the last 4 games. That's sweet. You're pumped probably for what you paid for James White for the PPR return. It'd be nice if he can find himself into the end zone. but I'm going to leave him as a high-end running back three, just because we need to see him make that little bit of a leap. Julian Edelman is locked in as the number one wide receiver here for the Patriots. He's a low wide receiver one, high wide receiver two. I don't really think I have anything yet for Philip Dorsett, right? Gordon News is obviously great for Philip Dorsett. He's pretty much a full-time route runner here as the Patriots' number one outside receiver. In the three games that he's played at least 50% of snaps, he's averaged 4.3 receptions, 64 yards, and 1.3 touchdowns. It's pretty much a flex play, right? So for now, I think he's someone to watch, see how this impacts him. I cannot put him in there as confidence. I'll call him a wide receiver four. Mohamed Sanu is too new to the team. He'll be involved. Just there's nothing for me to trust at all. Ben Watson is a touchdown or bust tight end, right? That's kind of what you're rolling the dice. It's the Patriots offense. You hope for the upside. He'll settle in 3 to 4 targets a game, some short yardage stuff. There's a lot of mouths to feed, so I would spin the wheel elsewhere. It's not like it's a dream matchup against the Cardinals where he's just going to have himself a fucking day. So with that, guys, I'm going to pick it. I'm taking the Patriots 100%. They continue to cruise, which brings us to the Sunday night game, guys. Packers versus the Chiefs, 8:20 p.m. Eastern time. A big matchup for the Packers and for the Chiefs, really. Can the Packers continue to be hot like they finished off last week? Can the Chiefs can they figure their stuff out without Patrick Mahomes on Sunday Night Football? There's a lot of moving pieces here. But and you know what? I think I read an old injury report because it does appear Davante Adams is out. MVS was not on the injury report, so he comes back into a pretty much full-time role here. I think he has a good chance he could lead the team in targets. But we'll get to that in a second. I'm jumping ahead of myself on the Packers side of the ball. Aaron Rodgers is a QB1. You know, it's before throwing 5 passing TDs, guys, Aaron Rodgers had gone 17 games without throwing 3 passing touchdowns. It's an outlier, right, when you look at the production he's given us lately. But it is what it is. So you have to do what you have to do. The Chiefs are 28th in Pro Football Focus's pass rush grade. Rodgers is going to have some time to pick apart a not great secondary. Let's just call the Chiefs what they are. They have some weaknesses. He's QB5-7, I would say. So top 10, unquestionably, against a bad Chiefs defense. And he looks good. Aaron Jones in the run game, guys, rebounded after a bad week 6. Had a nice grab in the end zone. He's going to give up some touches to Jamal Williams. It just is what it is. And there's no reason not to play Jones, right? Chiefs are dead last in Pro Football Focus's run defensive grade and have been crushed by run-heavy offenses. This is what they do. They give up yards. They give up points. It fucking kills me as a Chiefs fan, but this is who they are. Aaron Jones is a running back. Running back one, I think, against a bad Chiefs defense. Williams is a running back three, I guess. I'll give him 3. They'll play the Chiefs. Not a great matchup for him. Davante Adams has the toe injury. He is not going to go. So that is what it is. MVS, I think, is become the clear-cut wide receiver two behind Adams. He's had some injuries, obviously, but full participant in practice on Wednesday. I think this is a win for fantasy owners of MBS. I think it also hurts some of the fantasy production work we've seen from Lazard, you know, who led the Packers in routes run last week with 84%. So Geronimo Allison was second in routes run last week. It is what it is. His slot duties are safe, but his volume is still a little bit concerning. He's a wide receiver 4 at best. I'm not interested in really rolling any of the guys out minus MBS. It's just too dicey for me. It's a bad Chiefs defense. I just don't know where the points are going to go. So without confidence, I can't give it to you. Jimmy Graham, I actually think could be a nice sneak, not even sneaky, a nice play against a bad Chiefs defense, right? They clearly don't want to use him in the middle of the field, but when you get to the red zone, that seems to be his opportunity. He's tied for 5th inside the 10 with he's tied for 5th in inside the 10 targets with 5 this year. So he's touchdown dependent against the Chiefs, but they do look for him in the red zone. I think if you need a tight end, he's touchdown dependent, but he's got a good opportunity against a not great Chiefs defense. So I'm totally fine if that's who you want to roll out there this week. That flips us over to the Chiefs side of the ball. Not great for the QB situation. Mahomes obviously out. If you're a Chiefs fan, you're encouraged by the fact that we saw him out there doing some things. Matt Moore leads the charge for the Chiefs instead. He got it done last week with Mahomes leaving. He's a low-end QB too. There's no fantasy relevance there for him. LeSean McCoy, Darrell Williams, Damian Williams, splitting snaps, 26, 18, and 17. It kills everybody, right? Lowers the ceiling, lowers the floor. I think LeSean McCoy's a flex play at best. And I think that's really it. That's all you can do for the running game. I don't trust any of it right now. Matt Moore is going to change. That whole offense has changed. The dynamic without Mahomes, the threat on the ground. He's had the ankle injury, so I am glad he's getting some time to heal. But I don't know if the Chiefs have the time to lose some more games. So I'm hoping they can pull one out. But it's not a great time for him to be missing some games. Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce obviously take a hit without Patrick Mahomes at the helm. Tyreek Hill still has the potential to do it at any point. He's a wide receiver too. The volume is going to be fine for him. And the volume is going to continue to come to Travis Kelce. So both of them are easy plays, no question. I have no interest in Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson, Brian Pringle. I just can't do it with Matt Moore at the helm. Patrick Mahomes, different story. Sammy Watkins, I believe we said, is going to be back as I looked at the injury report before, but I still with no confidence there. I think for me it's only Tyreek Hill. It's only Travis Kelce in the receiving game. So, unfortunately, guys, I think you're going to have to look elsewhere. And that means it's a pick 'em, guys, for the Sunday night game. I'm still taking my Chiefs. I think they win it at home. Close game, no question. A lot of fantasy points to go around, particularly on the Packers side of the ball. But I think the Chiefs pull it out because I'm a homer. And that's really all the only good feedback I can give you guys for the Sunday night game. Let's wrap it up, guys. Monday night game, Dolphins versus Steelers. We're playing in Pittsburgh, 8:15 p.m. Eastern start. I'm just trying to pull up my Dolphins notes here, guys. And Ryan Fitzpatrick at the helm. Nope, there's really nothing on here, guys. Mark Walton replaced Kenyon Drake as the Dolphins' top back. But that's it. None of my stones. Nobody should be started. As far as wide receiver options, guys, I'm playing a Dolphin this week as of now. While I'm on the podcast, my opponent's also playing a Dolphin to give us a Monday night stake in it. Preston Williams, Devontae Parker, they're fantasy fucking dart throws, guys. Parker's 11th in air yards. Williams has out air yarded, according to Roto World, Parker in each of the last four games. They can easily give you zeros. They can easily give you fucking usable weeks. They're dart throws at best. But depending on your lineup, I don't know if I have better options, especially with Devontae Adams out, without Adam Thielen out. I'm hurting at wide receiver, so I may end up having to play a little Preston Williams action, which sucks. I don't think I can stream the tight end here. I just can't do it. I know the Steelers are bad against the tight end. I just have no faith. I'm going to spin the wheel and go elsewhere. Some people are saying this could be a weekly tight end streaming situation based on volume. With Fitz at the helm, I just don't think that's in my cards, guys. I haven't made a ton of bold claims here today, but I'm not about to do it now at the Monday night game. Let's flip to the Steelers side of the ball, guys, and wrap this show up. Mason Rudolph expected to be back and play. He's a QB2. I'm not playing him at all. It just is what it is. He's finished with fewer than 230 yards in every game so far this year, guys. Vegas believes in Rudolph. The Steelers are projected at 28.75 points, according to Roto World. If you want a dart throw in DFS, I guess he's probably cheap. That's about it. James Conner is a running back one. He is in your lineup. No issue at all. Volume's been there, 12.3 carries with 80% of the team's share of inside the five carries. He's averaging 4.3 receptions per game. If you are a James Conner owner, things have smoothed out a little bit. So you have a little more confidence. You're playing against the Dolphins, so it's hard not to love it. Juju Smith-Schuster, again, he's a wide receiver too. Same deal. You're playing against the Dolphins, so there's no reason that you can't have some confidence. Vance McDonald. Usage has not been great with Rudolph. I don't even think you have to put him in your lineup. I know he's playing the Dolphins, but you can. It's a bad defense. It's a good matchup. I just don't think you have to force him places. I'd look at your other options. Look at your other streaming options. I just can't with confidence or any sense of confidence tell you that Vance McDonald is going to be a good pick for you. So with that, guys, let's pick this game. I'm picking the Steelers. The Dolphins lose yet again. And that's going to do it for the part two, guys, of the Week 8 preview. It's been a pleasure being here with you guys. I hope I haven't bored you out of the podcast by now with me droning on, but I tried to move as quick as I could with all the fantasy goodies, injury reports, etc. But all I can leave you guys with is this. Get your questions in. Set your lineups. The portal will open on our Instagram stories for things shortly. By the time the podcast is up, it should be up for you guys. Send the questions in. Let us get rolling on those as soon as possible. If you're sending them in within an hour of game time, there's a good shot we will not get to them just based on the volume we've been receiving. So best of luck as we go into Week 8, guys. If you have the questions, get them in. And as always, have fun. Let's get ready to win some championships because it's put up or shut up time, guys. Week 8, it's time to start separating from the bottom if you are sitting middle of the pack. And if you were in the bottom, as I am in one spot, it's time to get your shit together because you're pretty much cooked out of the playoff picture depending on your league. If not, this is definitely going to seal the deal. So, guys, for Let's Talk Fantasy Football, I am Nick Schreck. We will catch you on the flip side.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.